Everybody, welcome to the Mages and Mentors podcast. Today we're doing another one-shot, and I'm joined by three friends today, where we're going to be playing a quick little adventure, wandering around my little game world. And today I'm going to introduce them, and then we'll go ahead and get started. So starting with my first guest, Bronson, that's you. Can you give me your name, your character's name, your character's level, breakdown, and like one sentence summary about your character that the audience would like to know about?
Yeah, my name's Bronson. I'll be playing as Saven, a level 5 rogue, arcane trickster rogue, and he is a follower of the Death God. I guess for this world it would be Anelid.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, arcane rogue.
Sweet, thank you. Esser?
So, my name is Esser. I'm going to play Steren. He's a tiefling cleric. He follows the god Domina. She's the god of fate and luck, and he works in the Crave domain to make sure the dead stay dead.
Ooh, spicy. Okay, we got two different kind of dead gods doing stuff. All right, from different aspects. All right, Jace?
And I will be playing Milo, who is a storm sorcerer half-elf who was struck by lightning as a child and thus believes he is now a chosen of the god of storms.
Ooh, nice. Excellent. Okay, so the way I wanted to have this narrative play off today is that all three of you are in my magical world. In my world, known as Muldrow, there's a whole bunch of... There's a main continent, and then there's a secondary continent, and there's an ocean in between the two continents. This story takes place where the three of you are currently on an airship. You've all reached this massive flying skyboat. Is currently crossing the northern part of my continent. It is going across the northern space where the tundra is, on the divide between the mountain ranges and the center of my plane. You've all basically been on this boat for about a week now. You may or may not have encountered each other. This is where we're going to give each of you a duty shift while on the boat. And what each of your reasons for being on this boat is up to you. From what I understand as a DM's point of view, is that you all contracted passage to get from one major city to the next major city. So you're going from the other side of the continent, and you're headed on your way to Sundra. But you're going the long way around and getting the scenic route. If you want to look at the map in Roll 20, you are currently... I'm sorry, you're headed to Drakamore, so that capital city in the middle right there. And you're currently coming across... From the other side of the continent, from over here where the VC is, you've passed the grave waves, you've passed the beach line, and you're still going through the tundra and the mountains. You're approaching the savage cliffs, the iced chasm part of the tour type of situation. It's one half a merchant vessel, one half a transport vessel, so it does the whole like scenic route through the northern part of the continent. So for a moment there, can we decide who wants to do what kind of roles? This is think of it as a full-fledged boat that has, engines, it has engines, it can fly in the air, it's used solar power and fire power and air power type situation. It's half technology, half magic fused. What does anybody want any particular job duty while on this boat?
I mean, whatever... they need help with, like, it's nothing in particular.
Okay, so while you're nothing stretches out to you immediately. So what we're gonna do is we'll have the captain more or less approach all of you. You've been a couple days of being on the boat, looking at the area around you, trying to get a feel for the space that you're in. And at this point, the captain approaches each of you and you're all like on the deck, kind of like lounging. And the captain, it's this wonderfully well dressed. Military, dark blue with like green lapels and a bunch of badges, but very like lean and like it's made for a fencer. It's very much a fencing and a duelist type of outfit. She approaches each of you and she's going to go up to. I need to know the character names. Hold on, go to my character list. Go up to Milo first and stop at Milo. Milo. Approaches you, doesn't know your name, so approaches you. Hello, traveler. I see that you've paid passage for the full tour to get yourself to Drakkabor. As per most of our gig, we are a skeleton crew, and we usually rely on part of the package that you paid for passage is that a duty shift gets assigned to you. We need someone to help. What kind of skills can you present to us to help us keep us on our way?
I'm kind of magic.
You good with magic?
That helps.
We could use you in the ability to maintain the sails because they take both fire and solar power. Is that something you can have access to?
Yeah, sure, I can do that.
Excellent. So the captain proceeds to walk you over to one of the other people that are handling the sails, and they're going to give you a make sure this is open, this is closed. You know, here's the roping, the whole nine yards. You're now you're going to be in charge of the sail system, more or less, or at least part of the team to help give the boost. The captain nods, proceeds to wander on, walks on over to Esther. What's the name of your character?
Darren.
Darren? I see Darren. So the H is silent?
Yeah.
Okay. So walks over to Darren. Walks over. Hello, traveler. As per usual, this is, as you can see, our skeleton crew is here. You pay for passage, but part of the passage that you've paid involves also your contribution to the system. So, is there any skills that you have that you would like to benefit to the crew?
Do you have a sick station?
A sick station?
Yeah, where the sick are.
Sick in itself, I mean, we do have a standing cleric or a medical officer, but they usually end up doing a double duty between taking care of the sick and taking care of the galley. They usually are it seems to be the people in charge of making sure people aren't sick are also in charge of making food. It seems to be very much a combination of a role. We have an officer doing that right now. We could always use an assistance when the time comes.
Otherwise, I can help cleaning.
Okay. She proceeds to direct you to the current chief officer they have for like medical / the chef's cook. So now you are now like the flex between assistant for medical problems and in the galley. And then comes over to where is the list? Savin?
Savin?
Okay. Comes over to Savin. Hello, traveler.
Hi.
Does the same. Done the same speech.
Yeah.
Based on our adventures, what kind of skills can you present to us to make sure that we can get ourselves to our final destination?
Well, I had a ship of my own, but it was much more on the water type. So,
does that mean are you good with a helm?
Yes.
Excellent. Would you mind being putting in some shifts behind the wheel?
Of course.
Excellent. The captain like gets a little bit more like a stand in their step, more or less. You know, talking to a former shipmaster of some sort, someone that has done their time. There's a level of respect. The captain looks over, and the captain to the other two like go ahead and set you all up. But this one actually looks at you and goes, "What is your name, friend?"
I'm Savin.
Ah, excellent. My name is Captain Ash. Welcome to my the skyboat. Kingsworth.
Oh, it's a cool ship. I've never been on a sky boat before.
They are relatively more new now. We're proud to say this is the third one on the line right now out and about. This is the beginning of the era of magic tech like this starting to happen in this world. Yeah. People are still using water boats. People are still traveling on land. Skyboats are owned by military and they're owned by massive companies doing experiments, more or less. Like, they got to the point where this is the third functioning, fully operating, in drop rate is not that bad type situation. So, I mean, things go wrong, but, you know, this is not... So, proceed.
Is this, I guess I'd ask the captain if this is like the largest of the sky boats.
This is not the largest. This is the second largest sky boat. What we gave up for in size, we acquired a bit more maneuverability. We want to be able to take a lot of turns because of where we put the boat and the design was. We wanted to make sure it can handle the currents coming across more or less than being massive for passengers. This is also why this boat operates on a skeleton crew, because we can work very shorthandedly and then expand.
What do you mean by currents? Like turbulence or?
You look over and there's like what you're used to for a sailing boat. A sailing boat's like 20, 25, like a massive amount of people. There's a bunch of people in every position.
No. Oh, what I meant was like to handle the currents.
Oh, because of where when they sat down to make the design plans of where they're going to put skyboats, and we did our first, you know, the first couple testing runs, they sat down and they figured out how big a boat would be, and like, you know, they took boats from the ocean, they sat down and said, we put an engine on it, we put some magic on it, how does it go? And they realized that just like how they have issues with harder water or choppier water or storms, they figured out that the air does the same thing in certain ways of the planet or of the plane, and they figured out bigger boats need to go in places where the current or the air doesn't become chaotic. And they put smaller ones in the air where it's twisty. You're going through the north and coming down, there's a lot heavier cross breezes and pushes that they need to be. If they're bigger, they get tilted.
Okay.
So they wanted to make, they figured out, let's put the smaller one here.
Cool.
Yep.
I'll help with the helm.
Excellent. Captain Ash walks you over to the helm, proceeds to put you to introduce you to the current helmsman. You're more or less you're going to relieve the helmsman because the helmsman has been doing like the night duty, and you're going to go ahead and take on the midday. This is like 10 o'clock in the morning. You've had breakfast. You've had your stretch of the day, all kind of jazz. You're going to be on for most of the day in charge of the helm. Now, this is the fun part, Esser. You're getting a super small. Spoiler alert for your other characters, but this is a good little piece to have for what's happening today. Can everybody make a perception check for me? D20 plus your wisdom modifier, if I understand it correctly.
A 22 for Darren.
Is that a natural 20 or is that a dirty 20?
No, it's a 19, okay. And I have a +3 modifier.
Got it. I got a 7 for... I got a 7. Excellent. Okay. You're looking around. You see some sails.
Can someone just roll?
Yep. Slash roll 1d20. What's your modifier?
It's perception. It would be +5.
Woo! You rolled a 9. Okay. So I have so the two of you, the low rollers, the nine and the seven, you're very focused on your tasks. You're working on making sure the rigging is right. You're looking at the sails. You're staring into the sails, trying to make sure that the angles are done correctly. You're picking up all the knowledge you need to make sure that you're getting the most maximum amount of solar power type situation and the right gusts to keep going. You're at the helm. You're very focused. You're back. It's back to like being back on your own ship. You're very used to this kind of. Kind of boredom, but also kind of like also need to be on prepared for anything. You're spacing out, but yet also ready to go, tracking all the zones. It's at the point though that Darren is looking around. You don't really have anything really to do. You were assigned. You were told, hey, when someone gets sick, you're gonna go help out, or someone gets hurt, you're gonna go help out. But like. And there's a couple people, like, someone, like, hurt their hand during repair work, or, you know, someone had an accident in the kitchen. There's nothing really big going on. The chef's meal for the breakfast is already done. There's a cleaning requirement, but, like, it's... You're kind of lousing about. And you're on the deck, and you're looking around, and you look out, and as the skyboat's moving, and the sun is reaching the precipice of the day as it's going through the time you've all spent on your boat situations doing this gig, you look over into the sun and you see something you're not supposed, that shouldn't be there. You see something that sparks the corner of your eye. There is a city floating in the sky from what you can tell, Darren. Do you proceed to call attention to it? Do you yell for the scout? Do you yell for the...
I will, for those people that are currently, mm-hmm. like have to look after like, that I'm working for.
Mm-hmm.
I tell them, hey, do you see this, the city over there?
Sure. A couple people are like, what? What are you talking about? There's no city. Cities don't float. Boats, we just started floating boats. We don't float cities. And then you proceed to go ahead and you tell that to someone. And one of the crew looks over and, like, looks out real quick and is like, I can't believe, that's not, that can't be there. And they run off and they run up in here on cat. They yell across the deck. Captain, there's something off the side. Captain, there's something coming off the side. And then now all of you are being brought to attention to look. And you're looking at the sun in the direction of the sun. So it's like kind of, ow, like for a second. But at the same time, you see the shadow outline of a massive structure in the sun line off the distance. It's about, it's far. I don't know how measurement. Maybe like a mile, 2 miles, 3 miles. It's like you're going to catch up to it at some point, but it's up there.
Where's the captain at?
Captain gets on the deck. Captain is when the commotion happens. Captain comes out because like, they did their rounds. They went to the cabin after a couple hours and whatever. They come up out of their cabin. They walk up to the deck. Captain Ash looks over and goes, "Well, that's something new. I haven't seen any of that yet." Looks over at you to see. Looks around the room to see if anybody has any opinions on anything. No, everybody's kind of flabbergasted. No one seems to be making any comments about having any experience with such a situation. She calls attention, goes, let's all look prepared. And she comes up to you and goes, can you start steering us away from said thing?
Of course.
I need you to...
Yeah, that doesn't seem like a good thing.
Yep. I need you to make a dexterity check to see if you can maintain turning the boat and keeping it going away from the direction. Boom. You rolled
it. 16.
Excellent. 16. Okay, good. You're able to maintain. You're able to. You're spinning the wheel. You're turning. You're using your. You're leaning in. You know the knowledge, and the boat starts to sway. You're swaying a bit to the side. You're starting to sway out of the path, and as you're swaying out of the path, it's at this moment when we have one of the scouts up in the crow's nest that's looking out, that's paying attention, and when you saw the city's appearance. Starting to come out of the sunlight. The city in itself was this massive, huge structure that has come out of nowhere type of situation. But the city isn't moving as fast as that. It's approaching you. It's like kind of floating its way across. But that's no longer the biggest concern to worry about it. As you look out, coming fast from the city is two smaller crafts. These are, while you're on a boat that looks like it was in the ocean with an engine stuck on it, these are much more metal and they're cruel looking, cruel, C-R-U-E-L. They are, for lack of a better term, if you ever see a Firefly, they look like the Ravengers. They look like those kind of ships where they're like, pieces put together, they look very angry, they're covered in red markings, they're all damaged, and they're coming at you fast, much faster than the city is, and there's two of them. One of them has what looks like it's painted teeth across the front of the thing, and it's starting to approach you. What would you like to do in response to these two things coming at you?
I'd ask the captain if there's any weapons on this ship.
We're a transportation vessel. We have a couple things for security, but we're not a warship. It looks like we have means to defend ourselves from hand to hand combat, and then we have a couple close firing cannons. But she looks over at the ships and she's like, I don't know if that's going to do it.
Is there any cities nearby or any place we could land?
As of right now, you're doing the scenic route. You are currently above the ice cataclysm. So below you is a hole in the ground.
Bummer.
Yeah.
So Darren is going to pray to Domina.
Mm-hmm.
To, make sure that the ship and the people have her blessing.
Sure.
And well, he basically says, Dumina, may you be, stay on our side, and then he's going to cast False Life on himself.
Okay.
Very good. A level one spell.
Sure. Excellent. You cast false. You ask for protection, and you do a False Life to yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds good. Jace?
That's 6 points.
Bronson, what are you going to do at the wheel?
What's at the bottom of this pit?
It's
just like an empty pit into...
It's just a very large frozen over ice cataclysm from basic, the tour guide basically that you basically got as you're going through the thing. The barbarian tribes have been fighting over this area for a very long time. It's basically like a Mortal Kombat spaced area where they do a lot of trial by combat. The bottom is probably lined with a lot of bodies from people that lose get thrown over.
Okay. I guess I'll start steering the ship away from the two enemy ships and start heading down because I don't want to get like shot out of the sky.
Sure. All right, you're gonna start dropping.
Yeah, not landing, but
sure. Trying to drop a bit more.
Yeah.
Sweet. Based on the current speed progression of what your boat is doing versus those two boats, they're going to catch up with you in what would be 3 turn cycles. So unless you make your boat faster or slow their boats down, they will be on top of you in 3 full turn rotations. If we can make everybody roll for initiative, D20 plus your whatever your initiative bonus is. I don't know if anybody has anything better than 0.
I rolled a 1, so it's a 3.
Yep.
So, 14.
Okay.
22.
Excellent. And then... Jace, what do you want to do with your transaction before we go to initiative?
I just look kind of confused as to, like, everything that's going on.
Sure.
Because Milo's, like, basically a kid and sort of like, okay, I'm on a flying ship. There's a flying city with other flying ships. What?
Yep.
So he's just going to... do what he does best to feel safe. He's going to cast Mage Armor on himself.
Excellent. You're now prepared. Sweet. And then I'll give you an extra action. So that was your reaction towards seeing the ships, and now you're at the top of the initiative order. You've cast Mage Armor on yourself. You're still sitting there stunned. Is there anything extra you want to do, or are you just basically going to... You're starting to notice the boat starting to drift down a bit Savin is trying to bring the boat down away from the current height that you are in the sky.
How far away are the other ships?
They will be on top of you in 3 turns. They're, it's about a mile, maybe a couple miles, like within 2 miles worth of speed.
Okay. I think he's just going to go find a place on deck that he can see them approaching.
Sure.
So if they get within his spell range, he can start blasting things.
Excellent. Okay, I'm gonna have you basically holding to start firing off spells until they get into your zone. Okay. Savin, you're currently bringing the boat down. Give me another athletics check to make sure that you're maintaining cross currents and all kind of jazz.
Athletics or dexterity?
Your choice.
23.
Oh yeah, your prior boating experience is coming right into play here. You're used to outmaneuvering and escaping other saboteurs.
This isn't the first time people have tried to kill me.
you're proceeding to bring the boat down a bit. You're doing a good job on that one. It is my turn. Both of the enemy boats are going to try to pursue. They're both pursuing you. They both immediately drop the level. One's dropping much more than the other one. It looks like they're going to try to do a maneuver where one's going to come across the top of you and one's going to come across below you type of situation. The one that's dropping is dropping faster so that they'll be underneath you when you go down. They're trying to do like a aerial pincer move. That you can, from your experience with that 23, both maintaining, yeah. you see the pattern because you're used to it on water in this direction. You're now seeing how moves like that work in a complete rotation of space versus just on a flat plane.
Yeah. Can we see what kind of weapons they have? Like if it's like. If there's anything like sticking out, like a giant harpoon or anything like that.
Sure. On the front end of both of them are... On the one is like painted teeth. but just looks like it's terrifying. There are no cannons per se on anywhere that you can identify. There's no like weaponry of that sort. There's a whole bunch of humanoid figures on all the decks, and they're all carrying weapons, and it looks like they are going to, from what you can tell from this distance, you would assume that they have some kind of tool on deck, but there's no ship design beyond the ships themselves. The ship that's up above, the front of the ship is much more built for ramming.
Okay. How big are they compared to this ship?
They are both smaller than you. If you are a medium sized vessel, they would both be small side vessels that are made for much more flexibility than you.
Okay.
Darren.
I'm shouting to the people to get under deck, like to the, I don't know if there are kids there, but. To the people that don't look like they can fight, I will like get safe, get under deck.
Sure. You're basically you're walking around doing like pseudo guard duty, getting people off deck, making sure people are evacuating. The captain's pulling up people, the sailors that would be on duty. Your skeleton crew's coming up. You're waking up everybody. You're making sure there's people in every position now. There's an extra person at the wheel in case Bronson needs an extra assistance. Someone's coming over to help out with the sails to make sure that you're ready to do any crazy maneuvers. You have a deck mage that's getting ready to start casting some fire spells into the sails to help give it an extra like energy push, more or less, or at least using gust of winds to do that, depending on which sail they're using. There's one's fireproof, one's not, type situation. And then the top of the order. The boats are coming at you. Well, now that you're paying attention to it as well, Jace, you're seeing, you're also starting to see them as they move into a pincer formation of sorts, where one is dropping below very quickly, and one is maintaining presence at its speed, so it will come above you. You will be able to cast spells at them on your next turn.
Okay.
Okay, sure. You're going to keep paying attention, seeing what happens, getting ready to go. Okay. Bronson, your turn. They will be on top. The ships will close the gap and be. Next turn, the ships will be able to be attacked by our boat, and in the turn after that one, they will have closed on you unless you do something.
How high up are we still?
Oh, it's a fall. You got some distance to go.
Okay. Is there a way to drop faster? I guess I would like kind of throw people off or like. Unstable.
Yeah. To go faster down, you need to change the complete direction of the boat to angle down to force it, and that's a possibility. It'll also technically need to coordinate with Jace and or the deck mage to. You need more speed. You need something to give you that. You need that you need that NOS button.
Cause yeah, we need to get to the ground. So yeah, I'll just shout to the people also nearby that we're gonna need to drop faster. So we need explain that.
Sure.
We need more speed. Because we need to drop as fast as we can.
The captain looks over. The captain, you're like, we need more speed. We need to go down. And you're angling the ship. And the captain's like bracing on one of the sides. Looks over and leans and goes, available mages. I need gust of winds or fire spells to push the ship more. Calls across the deck. Anybody's got a spell that can help push the boat a bit more. That'd be a good time to use it now. That's the call across the deck. Boats spend their turn getting close. They are now within combat range. One is going still aiming down to beat you to below you, and the other one is moving directly in the same path it was, because it looks like it's going to try to hover over you and do something from that kind of position. Darren, you're up.
Darren is going to cast darkness above them, where he would assume the boat is going to be next turn.
Okay, very good. So what does darkness do specifically? Does it make it so that they can't see?
It, Yeah, magical darkness spreads from a point I choose within and fills a 15-foot radius.
Okay.
I have no idea how much it is in what I use in meters.
Sure, okay.
5 meters, okay. Roughly.
15? You said 15 foot?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to say that covers a section. You basically 15 feet. A deck is probably much bigger than that. You could probably run over and like cover the wheel so that your pilot doesn't get hit, or you could cover a section. But 15 feet is not big enough to cover a full deck.
Then it doesn't make as much sense.
Yeah, so
It's going to be like a small portion. It's basically going to cover like you and the... Because if we're doing 5 feet radius, it'd be you and the two people next to you.
The thing is, nobody can see in that.
Sure.
So I don't want to do it on our captain because he can't see.
Oh, he can't. He wouldn't be able to see. Okay, yeah. Got it.
I'll just still guide people downwards.
Sure, you're going to spend the time evacuating. Got it. Okay, top of the order. Jace, you have a choice. Either A, oh, you have several choices. You are now in range of attacking the ship that's closing on top of you. You have a chance to shoot the ship that's going below the ship, and you also heard the captain yell, "If you have any spells to help move the boat faster, now would be a good time."
Destroying stuff is even better, right?
Yes.
Okay, so we are going to, or trying to get above us.
Okay.
I'm going to position a shatter spell just over its deck.
Excellent. Okay. All right. Go ahead. What do I need? I need to see what shatter spell does, so I need to know what I need to do.
It will be a constitution saving throw for anyone who gets fired.
What's the bomb of the ship look like? Like, it doesn't just look like a normal boat?
The bomb of the ship is, like, crude... awful gray metal stabbing out of a black hollow base.
Our ship.
Oh, your ship. Okay.
What, is it like flat or is it like
It's a bowed boat. And it looks like they could land. It looks like they've tested it. They've landed it in water and just done boat stuff.
Oh, okay. It's gonna be a rough landing.
They haven't gotten real ready for like emergency exits yet or emergency crashes, so there's not a real reinforcement yet. There's magical enforcement, so like it won't implode, but they haven't built it for like, oh, I need to touch this down right now. This is still testing phase.
Oh,
fantastic. Okay, they rolled a 14, so they take
18 thunder damage.
Okay, you go up, you look up at the ship that's coming across, and it's coming over you, and you look up and you cast a shatter spell above them, trying to push them away from coming at you. In the middle of this sunny, shiny, wonderful Monday afternoon, all of a sudden you hear, as there's a shatter storm going above that boat, and you're hearing some like yells and screams. They have taken 18 damage. Okay. I will make a note somewhere. Okay. Sky, enemy one has taken 18 damage. Okay. Enemy
it's
two,
like,
zero damage.
Shire's like it's like super loud. I remember that being part of the spell. Like, but I don't remember what the, I don't know if it's like a mile, but like
thunder wave.
I thought I did shatter.
Shatter.
Yeah, shatter is a loud ringing noise that is painfully intense.
I still remember like how far that noise travels. I remember it being.
It's each creature in a 10-foot radius of the sphere. So if you put the sphere, the range is 60 feet, so you can hit the target. You put the sphere on top of the thing, and it's going to hit basically like the deck. Or the small section of the deck, but it's not going to go beyond the deck.
Okay.
So it will not. It's not going to go like a beyond or down or out. It's just an. I mean, the air picks up. You hear a and a bunch of lightning sounds because I flavored it with his god.
Yeah. I was just saying, like, not necessarily damage, but like people in the surrounding area could hear it, but maybe not. I maybe just remembering it differently.
Yeah.
Or thinking of a different spell.
People are paying attention, and all of a sudden there's a distraction of like some magical event happening above the ship. And they're like, "Whoa, boat, city, lightning in the middle of the day. What's happening?"
Just a Monday.
It's just a Monday. Okay, that was so that's you. And Jace, that's your combat action. You can get like a non-combat action if you want, or a bonus action.
Just get ready to blast again.
Okay, you're prepping. Bronson, you look up and you see what's. You look up just like a quick eyeball, just to see which one's going where. They're going to close on you at the end of this turn. After you finish what you're about to do, it's going to result in an impact of some sort, either with some situation. What do you want to do before the gap closes? They are approaching very close to the boat.
Yeah.
I will give you a heads up that the more you maneuver going down, there is a higher possibility that you will be rammed.
I mean, I feel like that's going to happen no matter what.
Sure.
Yeah. Just keep trying to head down, like, drop down, like, so, how, I guess it'd be hard to tell how far away we are from the one below us, right?
Within 60 feet.
60 feet.
Because they're within firing range.
Yeah. How far away, how high up are we from the ground?
Let's do some math. I'm going to roll a d20, and then we're going to change that to... we'll see what the number looks like. It will, at your current speed, it will take you 11 turns to get to the ground.
Oh my god, that's not happening.
So you need to upgrade your speed, or you need to fall fast. You need to fall faster.
How can I fall faster?
You need to make the boat lighter, or you need to make sure you have a spell to be like a gust of wind, a fire engine, make the engines work at 110%. You need to make the boat... go faster, so you can skip turns.
I guess I won't.
I will say 5 turns or less would not kill you. If you fell from the fifth turn straight down to the ground, you would still survive / land on something.
Okay.
You have 6 turns worth of like this is a problem.
What's the process for turning the engine on and off?
There's a couple steps to it. It seems to be a innovative alchemical combustion type situation that you have. There's a onboard dwarf who's in charge of maintaining the forge. It's a forge, more or less. It's been converted into propulsion that they've figured out. If I make this hotter and I aim this way, it pushes. As you know in your history, a forge can always be cranked up.
Yeah. I guess I'm we're already pre-angled, right?
You're like, yes. Like, for the people at home in the podcast that can't see what I'm doing with my arm, you're at a solid 45 degree angle right now.
Could we go...
You want to go to nose? You want to go straight flat Y axis? Go straight down?
I mean, that's not 90 degrees, but maybe like
70. We're cutting this real close.
Yeah. I'm gonna try it. Yeah, we're gonna go for like a 70 degree angle, just sweet. To go. I shout the obligatory "Hold on."
Everybody just feels the lurch as your character goes ahead and just spins the wheel and like proceeds to like make a couple like adjustments. You look over at one of the deckhands that's in charge of the sails, and you look over and yell, "I need you to angle the sail now this way so that we can get the gust to pull us this way." You're also yelling for the dwarf smith that's in charge of the engine to make it hotter, type of situation. We need more power. Keep going. Roll me a either a dex or a strength. Because at this point, you are fighting the elements to bend the boat.
Natural 20.
Woo! Excellent. Well, with a natural 20, I will give you this moment here where you proceed to lean the boat at a hard 70 degree angle. Everybody's starting to like get a little sway. There's a little bit of everybody needs to hold on a second. There's a call for making sure everybody's in a good position, holding on to something. You lean the boat up into the 70 degree angle, and you just proceed to, at the same exact time, you get the gust from the right moment comes across and pulls into the sail and pulls the boat. Like how the drift of truck does, where it pulls your car, the sail, the air pulls the boat, and it pulls you. You instead of having the choice of impacting with the lower ship, you are able to curve just a bit with the wheel, and you bring it, and you hear a across the side as you just go ahead and just graze right past it. They're going to make an attack of opportunity just to see if they can try to latch onto you as you're rolling by, but you're not crashing into them. They do not. They were not prepared for your ship to make this maneuver because they rolled a natural one. They were. So you look at this deck, and you just see a whole bunch of these armor clad in black and silver and cruel leathers, points of armor, like metal armor buff. There's a full deck of tieflings that are all wearing like maces, and they all have for lack of a better term. They all have metalized pirate armor type of situation. They're all covered in ritual tattoos and ritual blood paints and whatnot. They are marauders, and they're looking for blood. And they weren't ready for this ship that they were like easy prey to do this super drop maneuver. With your natural 20, I will take two turns worth of movement off your turn, so you're at 9 turns into the ground.
Cool.
Okay. Their turn. The one that rolled a natural one is going to panic about it and try to like make a turn. Like they're going to try to figure out how to maneuver their boat. They're going to spend their turn maneuvering. The one that's above you, they're going to try to make an opportunity to see if they can roll. They're going to roll a disadvantage. They're going to try to board you from the top. They rolled a 9. So what you see is you look up, and as you're dropping, there's a whole bunch of ropes dropping down, and there's a couple tieflings sliding down the ropes. One of them tries to drop onto the ship, drops and bounces off the side from when you did your thing, and is now scraping their way down the side of your boat and is now hanging off the side. Jace, you can see this tiefling is currently attached to the side of your boat. There's two more of them in the air waiting for the boat to angle the right way so they can drop, land under deck, and slide down. That will be what they do on their next turn. Pastor, you're up.
Darren will cast Spirit Guardian. It's a spell that gives me angelic guardians in a fifth around me in a distance of 15 feet, so 15 feet radius.
Uh-huh.
Let me just check again what it does.
You call forth spirits to protect you. They 15 feet. If you're good, they're angelic. If you're evil, they are fiendish. Are you good? Are you a fiend?
I'm good.
Okay, so they're angelic. You can pick any number of creatures you can see to be unaffected.
Well, all of the people that belong on this ship.
You're like, don't touch anybody here.
It's like a really good ability.
This is like pretty good. Spell. Yeah, this is nuts.
Yeah.
An affected creature's speed is halved in this area when the creature enters the area for the first time on the turn. They make a whiz save. On the fail save, they take radiant damage. On a successful, they take half. Cool.
Like it scales really well too. It's just like a really good spell.
Yeah, this is really well put together. All right,
and
cool.
And then I run towards the ones that crashed on the ship.
So there's two hanging on ropes ready to drop onto you, and there's one that dropped, that jumped off the rope that like dropped. They missed because of the movement of the boat going. They hit the deck and then they scraped down the deck. And they're currently hanging off the side of the boat, like blade.
So, it's only one.
There's only one currently on your boat.
Okay, I will run towards that one.
All right, you run over towards the side of the deck. You look over and you see this pissed off. Black tattoos, gray skin, one horn, the other one's gone. It's like ripped off and damaged. It looks like it's been there for a while. Red war paints, ritual tattoos, awful leather, lots of like steel, and it's trying to do the dagger climb up the side of the boat.
Can I scream to him in Infernal?
Uh-huh.
You have no place to be here.
It screams back to you in Infernal. The blood stars are returning.
Oh no, what does that mean?
Shout back, I don't know what that means.
In Infernal. How dare you? How dare you ask me those questions? Pass me the salt, in Infernal. You proceed to is that your action, is talking to the advancing?
No, my action was
with the spirit guardian. So spirit guardian and yelling.
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay. Top of the order, Jace. You see two targets hanging on ropes, ready to drop into the boat. You saw the one target hit the side of the boat that one of your partners is yelling at, and they're yelling back and forth and languages you don't understand. I think ? And then you have a boat underneath you that's trying to pivot and come around. Well, it's now technically like this, if you can see. For people on the chat, it was parallel. You're dropping you're technically just lower than that one. This one's trying to pivot. So they can do a drop.
There's one trying to climb up the side of the boat, yeah?
Yes.
I'm just gonna look over, reach a hand over, and cast Gust down at him.
Alright, go ahead.
Strength saving throw, please.
Strength saving throw. Roll 1d20 plus.
Is it like disadvantage or? He's like hanging off. I mean, he's just hanging on by like a dagger, right?
Sure. Yeah, I'll give it a disadvantage. Okay. I see. It rolled a natural one.
Ooh. Okay, so yeah, I'm just gonna reach over and he pushed 5 feet away from me.
Yep, he's pushed 5 feet away from you. He's pushed 5 feet down. Because of the natural one, I'm going to say that it was enough to like push him enough to like not have a reaction to grab on the dagger. He is now falling.
I'll just yell out, "Have a nice flight!"
It's yelling at you in Infernal. You don't know what it's saying.
Nope. Do I understand what it says?
Lots of curse words. Inappropriate for audiences.
There's children on this show.
That's why he's yelling.
He's currently falling very fast. You look over and you just see. You hear the yelling from the other two up above you. They're not happy that this happened. Okay. Anything else you want to do?
Bonus action. I'm going to cast Dragon's Breath.
Okay. The two on the ropes. On yourself. Okay. Cool.
Yep.
What does the spell do?
I choose one of acid, coal, fire, lightning, or poison. Surprisingly, I am choosing lightning.
Surprise!
And until the spell ends, I can use my action to exhale energy in a 15-foot cone of the chosen fire.
That's nice. That sounds good.
I like it. Okay. Sounds like a plan. Bronson, you're up.
I'm just trying to keep it steady at this angle, trying to go down as fast as we can.
Okay, you're still going. 8 turns to go to the ground. The ship that was very close to you is pivoting around. On their next turn, they're going to try to catch up to you to at least make an attack against your ship. That's what they're going to do on their turn. The two on the top of the rope are going to drop. They're both going to drop from the boat. They're both going to make dexterity checks. Roll 2.
All the other magic users are busy with the sails, right?
Yes, you've assigned other people to the sails while Jace is doing attacks against people, and then you have the dwarf trying to increase the speed of the forge.
Okay.
Give me a. What do I want to do here? Survival? Maybe survival? Give me a survival check to see if the crew is able to give you an extra turn or two's worth of speed. DC 14.
Ugh, 7.
Okay. They're trying their best. All right, now you're working with and against the elements. And the elements are...
Yeah.
You're trying, you're at the angle, and you're waiting for more gusts of wind to come through. The two that are on the ropes are going to drop down. One's going to miss, trying to, get down the rope and get to the edge of the rope and get stuck on their own armor type situation. The other one's going to drop and hit the deck. And hits the deck, does a roll, and there is a full-fledged tiefling in battle gear on the deck of the boat, holding its stance. Its action was to drop, close the gap. It's going to land near Esser, and it's going to make an attack against you.
Yeah.
Does 19 hit?
Yeah.
So it, as it drops off the rope, it just pulls out this morning star. Morning stars have the spikes. Maces do not. Has a morning star, and it's covered in red paint, and it's going to swing it straight down and onto your shoulder and just catch you right in the right shoulder and just push you right down. And it looks over at you and just snarls at you. You're going to take whatever a morning star's damage is, probably like a d6. You're going to take 7 damage. Piercing damage, because that's technically pointy. And it's yelling at you.
Ouch.
Okay. That is...
Oh, wait. I want to have a reaction, please.
Sure.
I want to cast Hellish Rebuke.
Sure. Do I have to do something for the Spirit Guardian? I have to...
Only if you start your turn there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And then Hellish Rebuke...
Let me just check again.
Hellish Rebuke's a dexterity save.
At the beginning of turn or whenever it comes into space?
Oh, it entered the area. So it also needs to make...
Okay.
So, let me just check. I have all of this stuff.
It rolled a 13 on it. It rolled a 15 on its deck save.
Yeah, okay, so he saved.
Okay.
And Hellish Rebuke.
Sure.
He needs to roll 2.
What kind of save?
12.
Nope, fails on that one.
So he takes 24 fire damage, and because he's a tiefling, he probably has resistance, right?
Correct. He's going to take half. Okay. Okay. You perceive, try to because it came in your zone, and it gets past the Spirit Guardian, but then you burn it, and it's like, it's starting to yell at you, and it's like yelling back at you in an infernal type of situation. Okay.
So it's my turn.
It's your turn. Then now it's your turn. What would you like to do additionally?
Yes. I would like to go up to him,
mm-hmm.
and... to cast Inflict Wounds as a level 2 spell.
Sure.
I assume a 10 does not hit.
It does not hit. Tiefling 2 has taken 20... has taken 12 damage. Tiefling 3 is on the ropes.
And I will just yell back to him in Infernal to go away.
Okay. Basically. Sure.
But you didn't say please.
You're yelling over, get out of here. Get out of here, go home.
I don't know if Infernal has please in its language.
Very good point. It's like angry words, please at the edge. Like you just stick it in there at the end. It's like, why are you speaking common? It's like, we don't have this word. Okay. Top of the order? Yep, that's you.
So I've got a team thing that's kind of caught up in his own armor at the moment, yeah?
Yep.
Ooh, we'll have some fun.
I don't know. All the fun is the answer.
Well, obviously. So let us go up to him and breathe lightning at him.
And the one that's on the ropes or the one that's on the deck?
The one that's on the ropes.
Okay, we're going to rub to where the area where the rope would be, look up and breathe lightning at him. Dexterity saving throw. 20.
That'll save, so it'll take half. So he only takes 3 damage, jeez.
Sure. You go ahead and you do this whole fancy lightning thing, and it's like... It's looking up at you, and it's like... It's more concerned about its armor, yes.
I just realized for the Spirit Guardian, if you fail... if you succeed, you just take half the damage. So he takes the half of 13 radiant.
Okay, so that one's taking 19 damage total. Got it. The one that's tied up with the ropes in its own armor and whatnot. It took 3 points of damage. It's more concerned, like, lightning's happening around it, but right now it's currently, like, focused on the fact that it's hanging off its own boat, tied to its own rope, in its own gear, trying to figure out how to drop down and fight. Doesn't really care what's happening around itself. And it's like, whatever, like, working. It's gotten...
It's more embarrassed. Because they practice this, too.
Out of sheer annoyance at how little that did, that's not very effective. I'm going to burn 2 sorcery points and quicken a ray of frost.
Okay, sure. What do I need to make?
No, this is a attack ball.
Oh, okay. That's a hit.
That is a hit. Wonderful. 10 cold damage.
10 cold damage. Well, that's going to happen. Okay. So it's at 13 damage, and it's cold. Anything else? Is it frozen of some sort?
On its next turn, its movement speed is reduced by 10.
By 10?
Yeah.
Okay. Got it. Sounds good. Bronson, you're up.
What's the captain doing right now?
The captain's looking around, and the captain is, like, trying to coordinate with people, whatnot. She looks over at you, and she goes, do you have anything you can contribute to the battle, or would you rather be on the wheel? What ideas do you have?
Just getting this onto the ground. If the captain can keep doing this, then I can go help fight the tieflings, but... Yeah, and that's all I'll tell the captain. Like, if you can keep this thing at this angle... Heading towards the ground. We need to get on the ground as soon as possible. So I don't know if that's...
That's up to you. Do you want to be in charge of trying to do more directions and dealing with combat action with other boats, or do you rather be closing in with other characters?
I'll go help try and fight the tieflings.
Excellent. Captain looks over and goes...
Never getting bored.
Sure. Captain looks over and goes, I can help you. So runs over and grabs the wheel. And then you can go off and run over to the wheels. Or run off to the field. So you go off.
And I'll say they're a captain, but you said we could, like, drop out of the sky at, like, 5?
Mm-hmm.
You said?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I'll just say, tell them, like, hey, if it comes down to it, we need to drop out of the sky at, like, a safe distance.
Mm-hmm.
Or safe enough.
Mm-hmm. You know?
And then I'll try and head out to where the other two are.
Sure. Sounds good. You basically tell that to the captain. Captain nods. Captain agrees. Captain goes ahead and rolls the wheel. As you transfer the wheel over to the captain's going to make a roll to see if the captain has control over the wheel and what's happening. Okay. I'll keep that in mind.
We're dead.
You're going to run. I'm going to let you lurch and run off. So she's sitting there holding the Captain Ash is going ahead, rolling up the wheel, and that kind of jazz. You run off. That's your move in action. You can close the gap across the deck to go and involve yourself with the tieflings, if you wish, or you can do something else.
Yeah, I'll close. Can I use like my cunning action?
Sure.
To like dash just to
yep
get to where we're at, where the others are at.
Yep.
And yeah, I guess that'll be my turn.
Sure, you're going to go ahead and close the gap and do that. As you are running across the deck, and you square up with the tieflings, and you're ready to go, you feel lurch, and you feel the lurch as you... And you just look behind you, and the wheel is spinning, and the captain's like, ugh, 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 and, like, for a quick second, you're like... And it's both you can see it and you can hear it as the wheel starts to spin and the boat tips just a bit to the side at the 70-degree angle and tips. And then you hear the piercing sound as the boat, the other tiefling, smaller ship, pivoted and brought its piercing side right into the deck line and is pierced into the boat. They are now in your ship and there are tieflings pouring over the boat. Through the back edge of the boat. They're spending their turn jumping over there. There are now 4 tieflings on the deck where the captain is.
Oof. Yeah.
I will give you the bronze, and I will give you the you had enough movement for your turn to move without doing your cunning action. I will give you reaction to undo and, like, backpedal type situation as a reaction versus making you have to wait a whole nother turn, if that's something you'd rather see happen.
Yeah. Yeah, if I see that the captain's about to get attacked, then I'll head back there.
So you're like, you're squared up with the first tiefling, you look over and go, I think this is handled. And you look over, and as you look over, you're like, uh-oh, I'm going to have you use your reaction to the situation to fall slash jump backwards, so you would be closer to that situation to help. Tieflings are invading the boat. That group gets on board. The ones that are up on the one that's tied up with its armor is going to try to make a... just gonna try to drop down to the boat.
How many people are on this ship? Like,
there's you, the captain. There are two people on the sails. There's the dwarf dealing with the forge. There's a medic. There's a medic that's also a cook. And I would say there's at least like three filler people doing deck work in between. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. There's 11 crew people total.
And
then people, and there's a bunch of people, like travelers and whatnot, that are below decks.
Okay.
They are not in the compartment that just got pierced. Because that was more like it pierced into the captain's quarter versus anything else. And then they're coming out, they're jumping off the front of the boat, coming across. Like, it looks like it's a much a boarding attempt.
Yeah.
Roll 1d20. So the one that was tied up drops, successfully lands on the deck, so there's now two on the deck. It's going to roll for Spiritual Guardian. It's going to roll a natural 20 against Spiritual Guardian.
So he takes half the damage, right?
Yep, so he's going to take 7, or...
3d6, 15. So half the damage.
Okay. 15. Sweet. Because it has... because this is the one
Hold on. I forgot about that. Yeah, I rolled earlier because it's a spell that has concentration, and I lost concentration because I was attacked. So forget that he's not getting any damage. I'm not keeping the spell up because I lost concentration.
Spiritual Guardian is over. The one that was on the rope drops off the rope, lands a natural 20, so sticks the landing, gets to undo. It's like, I embarrassed myself situation. It can't move anymore because of the ray of frost, so it was able to do this crazy drop, and then it's like kind of like I'm still slowed. So I can't
I thought you rolled to keep concentration.
Yeah, I rolled a 6.
Okay. you're good, no worries. Okay, so that one's going to be that tiefling. The other tieflings are going to spend their turn jumping across the boat. There are now 4 tieflings behind the captain. They're spending their turn moving, so they're not going to have any combat actions. Esther, you are currently on the ground with a tiefling standing over you, yelling at you in Inferno that has just put a morning star into your shoulder.
Ouch.
What do you do? So another tiefling that just dropped to the deck. Jace is over here trying to cast spells, and then you look out and
so
you can hear behind you noise.
So I'll just cast the Spirit Guardian again.
Sure.
Because I have 2 of the opponents in range, right?
Yes.
So if they start their turn, they need to roll again. So
yes.
I'll do that again.
Sure.
And then that's my turn.
When they enter the area for the first time on a turn or the start, so at the beginning of their turn, they're both going to make checks. Got it. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Okay. Top of the order. Jace, there are now 6 tieflings on the boat. 2 of them in front of you, 4 of them behind you. You also felt the lurch as the boat had just gotten hit.
How many of them can I get in a line?
How many of them can you get into a line? Excellent. The 4 behind the captain are kind of lining up-ish. I would say you're able to probably get 2 of them.
I'll focus on the one in front of me.
Sure.
Let's bring some lightning at him.
Deck save, you say. Natural 1.
Oh, and that's some lovely damage.
Tiefling number 3 takes another... And we're... Oh, we're okay. Do we double the dice on this or not? I don't know if we're doubling dices on natural 1s to those kind of throws. Cool. I think it sounds cool. So I think you obliterate this tiefling. Give me the story of how you obliterate this one tiefling that finally landed, stuck the landing, but then you're like,
this does this does bring up a precedent though. Will we take double damage if you roll
a natural 1 on a saving check or a saving throw? I just make it so like it progresses the narrative. Like if I rolled a natural 1 trying to just do this crazy thing, no, this doesn't happen. Instead, this and this happens to you, but it won't, like, I'm not going to kill you. That's going to be like, okay. You jumped this building. Like, I rolled a natural one. No. No, it's fine.
Okay.
I'm just going to walk up with him and go, you can think you're being cool, and just, like, bring him as close to me as I can, and then just blast lightning in his face.
Excellent. You now have a charred tiefling. Is now... And then it just drops to the ground. It's currently completely burned and destroyed. You have killed tiefling number 3.
Can Ray Frost it, the tiefling that is nearest me?
Sure.
In Spirit Guardians. I assume 22 hits.
Yeah, that's going to hit.
6 cold
damage. So there's only one more that's near you. Because the other one you just annihilated. So the one that you're frosting is the one that's currently fighting Esther's character.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Excellent.
That's my go.
Okay. Bronson, you're up. You look over and the captain is now there are four tieflings behind the captain. This is like the moment before the captain gets to react. What do you want to do?
Are there any right next to the captain?
If this is the back of the bow that they're hopping onto, she's moved 30 feet in front of them at the wheel. So like there's a small little gap, but they're right there.
Okay. That's a bummer. I guess I'll just run up to the close one and take a stab at him.
Sure. Gonna run right up to the deck and go.
Yeah. Let's see here. Natural 20.
Yay!
No sneak attack. Bummer. I could have killed him.
All right, double your damage.
Yeah. So
it's a lot of damage.
It's not.
It feels like it.
Yeah. Like I always feel so bad. Gain a crit when it's not sneak attack. It's like, oh, I could have just obliterated this person. Where'd it go? Where'd my... Oh, I think it's like, oh, it's +4. Yeah. We don't double proficiency.
No, damage, so it's right? Just you're doubling just a dice number and then add your
bonus. So 17.
Sure. That's a good enough. That's a good burst of damage. You go up to the first one, you run up to it, and you come up and go, ah! And you go ahead and stab. Get right through their makeshift armor. Stab them, and they're like, oh, and it's gonna, you know, on its turn, swing back at you. Alright, anything else? Do you have any bonus actions or anything else you can do? Or, I don't know how many attacks you can make as your character.
I only make one.
Okay.
Yeah, that's gonna be it.
Okay. Alright. It's there. It is now the DM's turn. I'm going to have the captain go first because she has a higher dexterity modifier. The captain at this point proceeds to. Has two swords, pulls out two swords, takes one sword, sticks it through the wheel so it stays locked in position. Keeps it locked, takes the other sword, turns around, and proceeds to make a sweeping slash against the tiefling that's closing the quarters with her. Rolling for fancy pirate move. 13's gonna hit, proceeds to roll and does some slashing damage. We're gonna roll 2d6s, because that's what I want to do. That's not how rolling works, though. Just gonna roll 8 damage against the one that got close to her and slash out. It's gonna take 8 damage, and it yells in Infernal about cookie recipes. Who knows? And then she's starting to get ready to start parrying, and now it's like you're over here and she's over there, and you're both like falling into, she's falling into a fencer stance. I don't know how you're holding yourself up, or if you're both moving at the same speed or rate or whatnot, but she's definitely like ready to on guard and parry and start going. That's how she's set up. The tieflings are going to proceed. The one that you stabbed is going to make an attack back at you. Okay, so this is the one that attacks you. Natural 20.
I will uncanny dodge that.
Excellent. Sounds good. I will not get hit. Okay. So it takes you out of the...
Oh, Oh, it's just half damage.
Takes half damage? Okay, cool. 2d6 slash R 2d6. Take one.
Nice.
And then tiefling number two misses. Tiefling number three hits the captain. Tiefling number four misses the captain. Captain's going to take 10 points of damage. So parry, and then like parry, and then like understab, and you hear the captain go, ugh. You're over there. The tiefling is like closing the gap, and you're like, and like instead of getting hit with the slash coming down, it's just like a slash that just grazes the edge of your armor plating, whatever armor you're wearing, and just pierces just a bit as it pierces through the top edge of it, like on your collarbone. Esser, you're up.
The tiefling who's standing around me?
Yep.
He still has his turn, right?
Yes, he still is there. He has to make a... Oh, the tiefling around you, he's gonna make a grapple. He's going to try to pick you up and throw you off the boat.
But he still needs to make his,
Yep. Makes a 17.
Yeah, so he saves, so he loses 2 life.
Okay. He's going to try to grapple you.
What do I need to roll for grapple? I've never been grappled before.
Grapple, D&D. You basically need to... You need to make it so that they can't grab you. So roll a strength or...
Do I roll with disadvantage because I'm, like, on the floor?
No, you're fine. Because they have to reach down and grab you anyway, so it's fine.
Sure. I have an 11.
Okay. That's enough. This one is not particularly strong. It's going to try to go down, like, to grab you, to pick you up, and it's, like, having a strength fight, or more or less. You're, like, you're at the right angle, and where it's trying to come from, it's trying to pick you up to throw you, and it can't really do that. It growls about it, and it's going to make an unarmored... It's going to make an unarmored strike and try to punch you.
Yeah.
And it misses. It's, like, frustrated with itself, more or less. These weren't... This one particular group of tieflings that came off the first boat, the sky boat above you, they're just... They don't seem to really know what they're doing with invading boats. One can't get off the boat. One fell off the boat. One can't pick up a cleric and throw a cleric. Like, they're having a real hard time.
Maybe it's their first time invading another boat.
They're like,
I never know, right?
I think this is their training seminar, and they're doing roll poor.
They're doing very bad, though.
Yep.
Yeah, they're given the easy assignment. It's a cruise ship.
Okay. It is 12:40. I want to give everybody like a 5-minute go to the bathroom break, and then come back and like be ready to do the rest of the fight. Is that okay with everybody?
Can I do my turn first?
Yes, do your turn first.
Sure. I'll just... inflict wounds again.
Okay.
8 does not hit.
Nope.
So we both just like...
You're both just boxers that just don't understand how to hit. You're like, the target's right there. Oh, I'm gonna punch over here. And so you're both going real wide consistently. It's almost comical if the boat wasn't at a... And it is actually comical. The boat's at a 7-degree angle, and you two just can't land a blow on each other. And you're just both yelling at it. You're both yelling at each other in Infernal, and both muttering to yourselves in Infernal about how this...
But I'm not using bad words, though. I'm just like, get off, go away, and that kind of stuff.
Sure. Okay. All right. We're going to take a quick 5-minute repose. Everybody get up, get out of the chair, go get a water, and we'll come right back. Hello, Internet. I'm Tom, also known as Mages and Mentors, and I'm glad you found this. This is supposed to be a quick little how do I do Dungeons & Dragons during quarantine. And if you're going to be doing it in person with your housemates, if you're going to be doing it via Zoom or Discord or Roll20 or Fantasy Grounds, which will be all Internet-based applications, all of those platforms you can definitely search on YouTube, Google searching. D&D plus whatever app you want to be using, and there's plenty of people out there in the industry right now that are pushing out plenty of content about that. So I'm not going to do that here for you, but those are things that exist. What I am going to give you is some places that I go myself to get resources for games that aren't specifically games in my world, or at least places to start with for any new DMs or people that want to start DMing, and a couple websites I use as a background that will help you pick up data and information over time. I want to preface this again with a very important piece. Dungeons & Dragons is a scalable game. It is as simple as you want it to be and as complicated as you want it to be. There's always something new for everybody to learn. I've been playing this game for like 20 years now, and I'm learning constantly all the time new pieces of things I never understood before. The way this game is built is that it has a rules engine that is very simple at the beginning and then scales out with more complexity. That's the word, complexity. It gets a little bit more crazy as time goes on based on the way things have changed. You don't have to do all that stuff and memorize all that stuff and know it all. We always pick up a book. There's always a joke going around about, does anybody in here know how D&D works to a room full of D&D people? Because there's always something new that someone's come up with or missed that they're looking up. So I'm going to put the links to these websites in the description below. But the first one I want to start with is dndbeyond.com/quarantine. They're putting up constant amounts of free adventures on their massive new website platform. This is a fantastic resource depository. So they have 4 free events up right now that they're timestamped, and they'll keep adding more ones as time goes on. But the one that I want to point out to you, and if you until the end of May, and then we'll talk about this again down the road, is Dragon of Ice Spire Peak right here. If you can click this, go to the website link, go to this Dragon of Ice Spire Peak, click Explore. And it gives you the whole adventure, including how to run the adventure, all the locations, what you do, what the location looks like, what's going to happen at that location, story block information for what to do when you get there, and then it also drops you all the creature informations and the descriptions, and then what to do when you're done. It's very simple. This is the new starter adventure, basically, that Wizards wants you to be playing. It's made for level 1 characters, and goes over the whole concept of Wizards of the Coast's official world of Forgotten Realms. It goes over character creation, like how do you make a character, and I think if I click it, it's going to talk about the basics of character creation. So it's going to go over the whole nine yards of races, classes, and backgrounds. It's going to give you some options to go ahead and set up them pre-made, so you don't have to make your players all confused on the first time. It also has rules for one-on-one, so if you want to play this with one other person, so one person's in the DM or the Dungeon Master and one person's the player, there's rules in here too for playing the one-on-one game. If not, there's ones for playing the small groups. And then just going to go through this and scroll through and see what catches up to you. For the anybody that's new to starting off, I highly suggest reading the running the adventure script and just reading through it, and it's going to pick up new content for you. It's going to pick up new terminology, the way D&D isn't meant to be played, and what the concept of D&D is, which is amazing for everybody's different interaction with the game, and then leads you up to a whole bunch of information about making how the game works, what DCs and how to make things easy or hard, or how you're going to, if you want to use extra little pieces to track stuff of the game, how do maps work. If you want to use maps, there's different ways to display it all. Gives you the adventure map of where all the stuff's going to happen for you, how to read it. It's a very fancy... it's not fancy, but it's a very... Well, it's fancy, but it's very well put together package right here. So this is my go-to starter right now. D&D Beyond, it's Quarantine, the Quarantine sources. And then if you click on Dragon One... there'll be more. They're dropping new stuff all the time. They're dropping new stuff on their other social media platforms. And as long as... Until quarantine ends, they're going to keep putting out new content for us to utilize. Sticking with free content to help you learn stuff for D&D stuff, I suggest Dungeons & Dragons on Reddit. D&D Behind the Screen on Reddit. And DM Academy. All three of these are amazing D&D community sites. Dungeons & Dragons itself is going to be a whole bunch of players showing off their cool stuff that they're making, their collections of books, all the stuff they're coming up with. The D&D Behind the Screen is a DM side. It's made for dungeon masters that are like, I have an issue with this monster or that monster or running this dungeon. I'm having an issue trying to balance something. I have this world I want to pitch. I'm having issues with trying to figure out how to get a plot hook to happen. Can I get some prompts? It's fantastic. There's everything you could think about here. People are pushing in here left and right consistently. Another one I want to put out is DM's Academy. This one's a lot of questions. This one's much more, hey, I have... This is consistently an FAQ site for DMs. When the other one was prompts, this one's like, I broke this, I broke that, I broke this, I broke that. How do I make these things work? And this one's like, here we go. Here's solutions for you. We'll throw it right up. There's one more I want to drop. DMs Guild. DMsGuild.com. They're going to be the site you're going to be able to go pick up additional stories. Now, don't get overwhelmed by DMs Guild, okay? The point of DMs Guild is that this is where all the writers and the designers and the game people that are building new Dungeons & Dragons adventures or tabletop role-playing game adventures, they're pushing all their content out. You're buying it directly from the writers. This is a fantastic place. There's plenty of content here. They have bundles all the time. They have paid forwards all the time. They have discount codes going all the time. Just scroll through things that look cool to you. Things that are like, ooh, that looks really nice. Or this is a whole like 60 pages on how to run this kind of a monster. Or 30 pages on how to run this kind of backstory. Or this kind of world setting that's expanding upon things that exist already. Either by that writer or by the official Wizards content. Or they're building up new sections for worlds that other people have come up with. And they're putting out content. This is a fantastic place. I have a massive collection here. Spent little bits amount of money here and there. And whatever money you do spend here goes right back to the writers. It helps out all of the writers and the content creators that are constantly just trying to push out content for people to use. That it's a very reasonable price. So those are the four, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 sites I would support. D&D Beyond, go there for the free adventures from Wizards. The three places on Reddit, Dungeons & Dragons Reddit, behind the D&D behind the screen, and the DM Academy. All those places are great for questions and getting more prompts. And then DM Skill for getting more book content if you want to spend a couple extra dollars. Until next time, Internet.